God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us, God's word to strengthen us, God's word to comfort us and be with us on our walk of life. It's from the gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Luke. And I want to reread just a couple of verses. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. So for God's word, for our consideration this morning, as we ponder this gospel lesson that God has for us and Jesus speaks to his disciples about, I want you to think about your reserved seat. And I want you to think about how that seat is reserved. You know, in our world today, some restaurants really go by reserved seating, that you either have to call in or you have to get on the internet and get your seat, or else it won't be there. We travel around to different restaurants because we have a couple envelopes. We got an envelope for in-town restaurants in Lake City, and we got an envelope for out-of-town restaurants around Lake City. And on Friday, we pull from each envelope, from either in-town or out-of-town, and we decide how we're feeling that day, whether we're going to go out or stay in-town. The problem is, if we decide to go out of town and we decide after 12 p.m., we might not get a seat because there's a couple of restaurants that get up filled up pretty quickly. There's one restaurant that's just outside of Ellsworth, Wisconsin. It's called Shady Grove. It's a quaint little restaurant and it's set in kind of trees and everything. But it's small, and you have to call in to have your seat reserved, or else you won't get it when you come to the door. They'll say, sorry. That happened to us once, too. It's a restaurant in Redway. It's called the Scarlet Kitchen. It's in St. James Hotel. And so I got on the internet because they wanted you to reserve your table, and I did all that I needed to do. And I sent it to them, and I said to Karen, I said, well, we got a seat at 6:30, I think it was. And we arrived at Scarlet Kitchen, and they said, I'm sorry, you have no reservation. There's no seat for you. I said, well, I did it online. Did you get a confirmation? I don't think so. Sorry. You don't have anything reserved. We can't fit you in. Now, as Jesus is saying this, reading this to his disciples, his inner group, and he's talking about going through the narrow door, he's talking about being reserved and having faith in him and faith that Jesus has done all things for us. God wants us to understand that the invitation is given to all to come to him. But that invitation isn't followed by a lot of people. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and hearty in soul, and you will find rest for your soul. You see, Jesus is asking us to come to him. The invitation is set. And we know by faith we have a reserved seat. We know by faith that Jesus suffered, that Jesus died on the cross, and that Jesus rose again to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. So that reserved seat is already there. We don't have to worry. Our name is there on the seat. All we have to do is go through it. There it is. Jesus beckons us. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about your faith, your life, your struggles. and faith. Because when Jesus talks about the narrow door, we start to be reflective. Have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Now this is what the world says. Have I done all the right things? Have I followed the law of my parents? Have I really been a good person? Have I really helped others? And God said, that's not the point, brother and sister. The point is that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. And he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. That when I have prepared that place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is talking about that reserved seat. He's talking about that reservation that we have and is kept in heaven for us, for each and every one of us. God gives us the kingdom. And by God's grace, we are seated. We are seated at Christ's table so that we may be nourished from all the food that Jesus gives to us. He gives to us his body and his blood, given and shed on the cross for each of us. And by that reserved seating, and by that faith we have in Jesus, and by that power that he has for us, he empowers each and every one of us. He gives us gifts, gifts that are used in the kingdom of God, gifts that he gives to each and every one of us. Gifts that may be similar, gifts that may be different, but he gives us gifts so that we may use those gifts in service to him. After we've been fed at the reserved table, after we have been fed and nourished through his word, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers us to be Christ's mouth, lips, hands, feet in this world, so that we may share him with others. Sharing Jesus can be very difficult. Oh, it's easy in the world to share about the twins not doing very well and where they're going to go, or the Vikings, or the Wild, or any kind of activity of Byron School, too. Or around us. It's easy. But to speak of Christ, to speak of Jesus, it's always tough. It's always difficult. It's difficult to have a funeral for someone you do not know if they know Christ or not. So the funeral service and sermon is usually directed to all the people who are there. Because we can't do anything for the deceased. And yet, God wants us to hear his word. Hear his word of salvation in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, the one that comes for us, the one who sacrificed himself on the cross for us and gives us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. So we've got that message to share. A delightful message. A message that is of Jesus himself. Jesus who lived, suffered, and died for each one of us to give us the greatest gift in the kingdom, which is termed eternal life. And he uses each and every one of you as that instrument. Because as the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthian church, 5th chapter, He says we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. God uses your skills. God uses your talents. God uses your gifts to reach out to others so that others may know of Jesus Christ, crucified and living Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.